Now let us turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 24. And we read from verse 42. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste, and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if he will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. Where is Abraham to find a wife for his son Isaac? There is no one for him in the heathen land of Canaan. She must be a woman in the covenant like Abraham and be God-fearing. This is very important because this is the messianic line through which God will bring his son into the world. Providentially, there is a branch of Abraham's family 600 miles away in Mesopotamia. So Abraham, as we know, sends his servant there to find and bring back a wife for Isaac. This good man prays his way along until finally, Genesis 24, verse 27, he can say, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And then his own testimony, which we read as he relates the story to the family, verse 48. The Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. We are in the way. The Lord will lead us, and he will lead us in the right way. As Proverbs 3 and verse 6 says, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, Eliezer tells Rebekah's family why he has come and how the Lord led him to their daughter for Isaac. And for them, the will of God is so strongly shown in all this that they can only make one response, and that is in verse 50. the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. God has spoken so clearly. There's nothing for us to say about it. And that is our text this morning. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. As it is at the end of verse 51, as the Lord hath spoken. And it's a lesson in the providence of God. And in this wonderful text, the thing proceedeth from the Lord, we learn two great things. First of all, this is always true. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And secondly, this is always true for us. So let us see first of all then, this is always true. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. It's a reminder that everything that happens comes from God. And this is an absolute statement, but it is true because of creation. In the beginning, God created everything out of nothing. And from that, it means that God is the originator of everything else that happens in his creation. He has not brought everything to being out of nothing and then left it to itself, or left any aspect of it to itself. But he is the doer of everything in his own creation. The thing proceedeth from the Lord, whatever it is. As Richard Sibbes puts it, providence is the perpetuity and continuance of creation. You see, the creator is the one who, not continuing creation, but continuing providential actions in his creation. And you might say to me concerning an answer to prayer or a particular need, where is it to come from? And the thing is, God made everything spring into existence in the beginning from nothing. And now in his creation, and in the world of your circumstances and mine, he can raise up and bring out of seeming nothing and nowhere whatever he pleases. As Watts puts it, thy providence is kind and large, both man and beast thy bounty share. The whole creation is thy charge, but saints are thy peculiar care. And so in this whole universe, in this planet on which we live, in our circumstances, it's the Lord, the Creator, and the Lord over all, in kind providence, performing all things for me. And dear friends, there is no exception with this. We like to think of the all things, don't we? Especially Romans 8, verse 28. All things work together for good. But have you thought about the fact that there are all things concerning the providential government of God, and he being the source and giver of everything? And there are three texts, at least, which tell us this. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, where Solomon says, all things come of thee. It allows for no exception. And then Romans 11, verse 36, of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. You see, no exception. Ephesians 1, verse 11, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All things come of him. The thing, whatever it is, proceedeth from the Lord. Now that is true even where there seems an exception. What about evil and bad things? Well, Isaiah 45 and verse 7, where we have this statement, where we read, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. By evil, meaning calamity, but also, in a certain sense, even the evil that happens amongst men. Amos 3, verse 6, shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? This might seem a mystery to us, that the thing proceedeth from the Lord, even the worst of things in this world. Sometimes the worst things that happen in believers' lives. You think of Judges 14 and verse 4, where you've got that familiar situation where parents are trying to persuade their grown-up son not to enter an unequal yoke with an unbeliever. Samson has fallen in love with a Philistine girl. And Judges 14 and verse 3, they say to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now that is a forbidden thing. And yet, look at the next verse. Judges 14 verse 4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. This act of disobedience and sin was of the Lord. And it's a testimony to his high and absolute and mysterious providence that God can raise up sin and work through sin and accomplish his purposes and yet remain perfect holiness. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And of course, the greatest example of this is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2 and verse 23. Him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The greatest imaginable wickedness, the most terrible crime in all the universe and in all the history of man, the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the Jews and the Romans crucifying and slaying him, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, purposed, raised up, brought about by God, the thing proceedeth from the Lord in order to provide us with a Saviour, someone who died for sinners, rising again from the dead, to bring us God's forgiveness upon our repentance and our believing. It was necessary that the Jews and the Romans should be instruments in this, that Jesus should die on the cross, but beyond that, God behind it, God through it, and punishing sin on a substitute, a sinless one, that atonement for sin might be made, and we can have peace with God, the ground of his forgiveness. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And you see the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, the amazing and wonderful works of God in absolutely everything. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. I say again, God can take up human sin, having purposed it, being pleased to use it, working through it, accomplishing his purposes by it, and remain perfectly holy and righteous. And that's a great comfort to us, my friends, because you see, if the worst happens, sinners are having their way, the devil is running rampant, awful things are taking place, none of these things are without the Lord. Don't imagine that God has somehow abdicated his throne with these things, as if he's left things to people to do and the devil to have his way. And there is a phrase which, in the light of this teaching, is not a helpful phrase, where you hear some Christians say, well, God allowed this thing to happen. But does God allow things to happen? Or does God appoint things to happen so that the thing proceedeth from the Lord? If he only allows things to happen, who is in charge in this universe? The devil? Well, if the devil is in charge, which is what is implied when God allows things, well then, where is the comfort in that? No, my dear friend, there is no point at which God has ceded his sovereignty and allowed devils or men to have their way. God is behind everything. God is in everything. God is overruling everything, using everything for the fulfillment of his wonderful purposes. We can't see it at the time. Who could have imagined that the cross of Calvary, wicked men crucifying the Lord of glory, what possible good could come of that? Monstrous wickedness, but marvelous, amazing grace in God providing a Saviour whose coming was necessary in this marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, for the messianic line to run all the way down to Israel, and of Israel, the coming of the Saviour. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And even where God uses means to accomplish these things, the thing, this thing, Abraham sending his servant, Eliezer being divinely led to meet Rebekah, the family agreeing that Rebekah should be taken back and marry Isaac, the means that made this provision, and yet the thing proceedeth from the Lord. You see, means are second causes, not originators. Only God is the originator. And remember the first cause behind every other cause. Look higher. Proverbs 16 verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The picture is this. Sometimes in the Old Testament, a disputed thing was decided by the tossing of what we would say are dice. And a man sat down cross-legged, and his long garment formed a kind of an apron. And they would toss a couple of dice into that apron, and then the man would throw them out onto the ground, and the certain way in which they fell would decide an issue. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing of is of the Lord. And even a thing like that, decided by the casting of lots, the whole disposing is of the Lord. the thing proceedeth from the Lord. This is always true, without any exception. And this is a high view of the Most High God in his government and sovereignty. But it's a cause of worship and a cause of great comfort and great hope. So this is always true. That's the truth of it. But let's look secondly at its application. This is always true for us. This must be something more than just what we believe. It must be something applied and received. You see, Laban and Bethuel here, they saw it in this instance. They couldn't gainsay it. It was so evidently clear that God was in all that had happened. God has spoken by his providence, nothing more to be said, and so we shall acquiesce. And that's a good thing. And sometimes it's not that easy to acquiesce in what God has sovereignly done. You think of Aaron in Leviticus 10 and verse 3. Two of his sons put to death in judgment in one day. What do we read? Aaron held his peace. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. It was judgment. God is just. Eli, 1 Samuel 3, verse 18. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. The believers in Acts 21, verse 14. The will of the Lord be done. Because the thing proceedeth from the Lord, whatever it is. Always true for us. Now, it cannot have been easy for the family here. Rebekah was Laban's sister and Bethuel's daughter. And they would have naturally preferred her to marry a man from their circle. As it was, they were going to lose her in marriage to a man 600 miles away. They might never see her again. No such thing as FaceTime. In those days, it was the end, probably. The last time they would see her face would be now. Unless some messenger from time to time could travel all that distance and bring the news of the family. But what a hard thing to submit to. But it was providence. It was from the Lord. And it's a lovely thing that we read in verses 57 to 59, a bit later in Genesis 24, when they say, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And away she goes and becomes the wife of Isaac and the next generation after Isaac. And so it is all the way down to the coming of the Saviour. Whether good news or bad news or indifferent, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. Now you see, sometimes we are tested over these things. Oh yes, I believe in the sovereignty of God because I'm a Calvinist and my doctrine is right. Until the Lord sends something unwelcome and hard to accept. John Newton used to say, every man is a good Calvinist until someone spills a cup of coffee over his new coat. the thing proceedeth from the Lord. It's a great help to remember, from the Lord. Whatever. Nothing happens of itself without the Lord. John Berridge puts it like this in one of his verses. No cross or bliss, no loss or gain, no health or sickness, ease or pain, can give themselves a birth. The Lord so rules by his command, nor good nor ill can stir a hand, unless he send them forth. And remember, from the Lord, meaning Jehovah, the eternal, unchanging covenant God. There's everlasting love and purpose, unfailing constancy to do us good. We're not thinking here about an unfeeling deity or cold fate. It's a warm, loving, kind, all-wise Father in heaven. Isaiah 28 verse 29, this also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. He's counseled it forth, decreed it from eternity, excellent in working, in making it unfold and happen in his providential dealings. It's the Lord. And therefore, dear friends, it's not only his hand, but his heart. God is not against you, but for you. And always it is for your good. And meanwhile, if we don't see the good, we take refuge in the heart of God, who does all things well. You see, not to accept and submit to this is really rebellion and ingratitude. It's a failure to see God in something and a refusal to accept his will. Our own wishes hold sway. I remember a minister friend of ours telling the story of a man that illustrates this very readily. Many years ago, he was a man who was engaged in full-time Christian work amongst children. And he delighted to serve the Lord in the evangelism of children. Who wouldn't? And then he fell seriously ill. And he couldn't serve again. And a Christian friend visited him. And this worker said to his friend, "Why has the Lord allowed this to happen to me? He knows I only want to serve him." And you see, there are two things seriously wrong in that question. And we don't say it lightly, because who knows who among us might be there one day. We don't say it lightly. But there are two wrong things in that statement. Why has the Lord allowed this to happen? So if the Lord has allowed this to happen, who is behind his illness that's immobilized him? Is it his body? Is it the devil? Is it bad luck? You see, it's revealing, isn't it? The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And the other wrong thing is, the Lord knows I only want to serve him. But is there not another way to serve God besides evangelizing children? What about suffering patiently and humbly submitting to the hand of the Lord? And even in the suffering to say, the Lord is good. He's not failed me. He's entrusted this experience to me. And I'm proving his faithfulness every day. It's not easy, but the Lord is holding me up, and I know more now about the everlasting arms than I ever knew before when I was in health. You see, even a heavy providence is a providence. And if we do not believe this, we've got no comfort to give to God's people, have we, in their extremity and in their great need? What comfort has a pastor to give to God's people if this is not true of us? What comfort have the elders to give? What comfort have we fellow Christians as we seek to bear one another's burdens? What comfort have we got if we speak of the Lord allowing things and, well, the implication is, well, he's allowed it and he's left you to it. No, no. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And because of that, he's with you in it. And he's your refuge and strength. And he'll see you through it. And he'll bring you out of it if it's his will. But honour God and acknowledge him and give him the glory as being the first cause of everything. There is a danger, you see, that we fight against God. And there are, I fear, many frustrated Christians, almost mildly angry, bitter Christians. What the Lord has allowed happen to me. My circumstances. It's not what I would have wanted. I'm not a happy person. Well, there'll never be any blessing, never any glory to God with that spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Be ye reconciled to God. And isn't it strange that we can be reconciled to God for salvation and yet not reconciled to him in accepting his will and his dealings over something? Job 33:13. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters, but we trust him while where we cannot trace him. I remember a dear saint we used to know, and she was taken in by what we would now call an insurance scam. Dear lady, she was persuaded to invest a lot of her money with a promise that it would yield a good increase in some years to come. And as things turned out, she found that she'd lost it all by an unscrupulous insurance representative. And she was sharing this. And she said that, I don't want to strive. Submit. Even that has a divine origin and purpose and blessing in it somehow. And the very fact that we remember that years afterwards shows what a good example it was to us, doesn't it? And there is this example, you see, of humble saints who submit to the Lord because the thing proceedeth from him, always true and true for us. Only when there is submission can there be peace. When we meekly lie passive in his hands, the soul's true rest. It's a significant verse in Ephesians 3 and verse 1, where Paul writes and he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And then he goes on. You notice he doesn't say, "The prisoner of Nero, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm here in this prison. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. I'm here according to his will, for his sake, to serve him in this way." And when we do submit like this, acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, we can then pray with a right heart, a right spirit. Psalm 9 and verse 12. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. O Lord, this that thou hast done, I thank thee for it. It's hard to bear. But Lord, be my strength and stay, and help me through, and sanctify it to me, to my highest good. May I be a good witness and example to others in this, and may I be to thy glory, and fulfill all thy purpose for my highest good. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. You can pray like that, you see, and we never pray better when we're given grace. And of course, this thing is so pleasing to the Lord, because we're most like his dear son then, aren't we? Who was meek and lowly in heart while he was here, and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and now highly exalted. How God loves to see his people most like his beloved son. He says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And he can say the same of his people, conformed to his image by grace. There's a blessing in this. And then, of course, we'll see the end of it in one way or the other. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The beginning is hard, perhaps. But even the beginning is the beginning of God. The thing proceedeth from the Lord is going to run its course. The Lord is in it all the way through, every step of the way. And he's going to bring it to the best possible end. There'll be the goal, there'll be the fruit, there'll be the blessing, there'll be the glory to his name. And yes, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You've got something to look forward to. You've not seen the whole thing yet. It might be dire. It might be a burden that you can hardly bear, but be patient. Acknowledging God in it as you do gives him glory, and he will give you grace, and he will have his way, and all will be well. Rest in this precious truth. It's not a doctrine for Calvinists. It's the teaching of the whole of God's word, and it's the throne and the sovereignty of God. It's the Father's providence. It's his wisdom, love and power, all engaged for the good of you and me. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And as good old Eliezer found, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Paths of pleasantness and peace. May it be so, for the glory of his name. Amen.